America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. It is October 19th, 2018. We are now 2 weeks and 4 days away from the midterm elections. And already the shit's starting to heat up. I don't know about you, but my TV's being pestered with attack ads against Stacey Abrams, who I do plan on voting for. But as I've also pointed out before, the guy who is her Republican opponent, Brian Kemp, a.k.a. the immigration bus guy, he's also the guy in charge of voting registration.
Yeah, no conflict of interest there.
Oh, there's definitely a conflict of interest, but it's not a legal one, at least not right now.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, he is scummy enough to absolutely exploit it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. All that means is, you know, we got to make sure to get Georgians out and get ready to vote.
Yeah.
And voting registration has gone up, apparently. So people want to go out and do it. It's a matter of getting people to the polls.
Yeah.
Of course, technically, we have well enough money to put in a polling place for every 100 people here in the United States within a short distance. But neither party really wants to do that, and for obvious reasons. But anyway, this week, what have we got this week? It's going to be just Filippo and Chris Elogi with me tonight. Kind of a small crowd. Hey, guys.
Hello. Just us.
Yeah. So maybe Pat will join us a little later. If he does, we'll get him on. But instead, if not, well, that's fine. We can make it work. We can wing it. So we got some stuff that happened this week. The Russian collusion stuff has taken another step. The guy who was supposed to become the who was the interim president of the USA Gymnastics had to resign. You will not be surprised why exactly. You can smoke weed legally in Canada now.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah. Hmm. That went Wednesday?
Yeah, Tuesday. Went into effect Wednesday.
Yeah. And strangely enough, Canada has not burst into flames. So,
no, everybody's too chill for that.
Yeah, well, too cold for that. Some other stuff. Banksy, the famous street artist, pulled one of his famous stunts when one of his paintings went sold for $1 million-something. Hmm. And China's planning to put an artificial moon into space.
Because that's something China can do, I guess.
Yeah, and they're planning on doing it year after next. So, the future is now, I guess?
Yep. Anyways.
God, I swear, it feels like we're in Ghost in the Shell every other day. Like, we're getting there closer and closer. So we got all that stuff and more that we're going to have on this episode of Let's Weekend. And so, to start us off, as always, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Pretty much the same stuff I've been up to last week. Still going through Dune, still going through Shining Force. I had my adventures in PS3 hacking this week. I'll give details on that on Sunday because it's more relevant to that. But suffice to say, fuck you, Sony. So, yeah, that's put a bit of a damper on things there. Soul Calibur 6 came out today, but I couldn't pick it up today, so I've been playing Soul Calibur 5, and that game is sort of okay, mostly kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not bad, it's just, yeah, kind of. Well, let's put it this way, all the characters you actually like aren't in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, great. Nice job, Namco. But beyond that, yeah, not much. Just been listening to a whole lot of Commodore 64 music for some reason.
Alrighty. Good to meet. Chris, what about you?
Well, this week has been freezing cold.
Yeah, it's actually getting that way down here. So,
yeah, I've had to scrape off the windshield a good bit this week, and you know, be very stubborn about dressing for the weather, not wanting to admit it's that cold out.
Yeah.
At least put some stuff on to at least make it not as bad as it could be, I guess. But yeah, that's been annoying, especially just having to, you know, wait for the heat in my car to get to a point where my windows are not fogged up, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as for games, I have been playing a good bit of Rocket League. They got their new Halloween event going on, which goes the same way that it normally does, where you play matches, you get these, I think it's candy corn this time around, mm-hmm. Usually about like 8 to 13, somewhere around there, and once you reach a certain point, you can go into their little holiday event store and spend that money on various collectibles that are in there, different types of cosmetic stuff. Some new wheels, some new skins for different types of vehicles, some new like player card stuff. There's some pretty nice stuff in there. And which has had me just playing more of the ranked mode, which I've not tried it yet, but they've added some more of the other modes to that stuff. So now there's the main ranked mode, which is, you know, 1v1, 2v2, and 3v3 with two different flavors. That's team ones, where you can have your party with you, and solo, where it's three random people teamed up, which is always fun because there are those people that are highly ranked that play like shit and blame their teammates.
Yeah.
I had one guy who's like, 1v1 teammate, 1v1, like, wants to fucking fight me, essentially, in another match, and it's like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. That guy put in the chat, called him dumb, and quit at the end.
Some people just can't get it.
Yeah, but they've also added some stuff for the other modes. I think drop in, I forget what it's called. The one where essentially the floor, if your team hits the ball onto the other team's side and hits one of the tiles on the ground, it disappears. Depending on how many times it gets hit, it can charge up and then take out more tiles on the floor. And that's a really fun mode, but it's not a very popular one, at least in the unranked mode. So it takes me like a minute or two to get into a match. But that thing is in there now. It's like a ranked mode. There's, I think, the cart style one with a bunch of power-ups that just randomly pops up. That mm-hmm. one's in there. And there's a couple others as well that are really fun stuff. But I have not jumped into the ranked version. See if they say fun when people take it more seriously, which is always going to be interesting to see. But also progressing on my Rocket Pass thing, which where am I? I'm like level 8 right now. It takes a good bit of playing just to get them ranked up. I kind of wish the bonus you got as for having the Rocket Pass itself was a bit better. I think it's 50%, but also every week you get like a sizable boost. I think it's like 100% or 200% for mm-hmm. your first few wins of the week. But yeah, that game is still a ton of fun. And I'm getting to play a bit more with and seeing the different types of people that are out there. Because there's definitely like the assholes I've mentioned. There's the person who, upon the kickoff, decides, I'm going to go take a left or right immediately over to the boost, the big filling 100% boost, and leaves the goal wide open. They're in goal, essentially. And lots of that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's still a great deal of fun. I think they said they're putting out an update later this year for the Xbox One X version to give it 4K support, which will be good to see for those people. I've been playing NBA 2K19 Prelude, which is the sort of demo, which lets you check out the early parts of the career mode. in the story for that, which is not as dumb as the one with the ghost. It's just your guy is kind of an asshole. It isn't very good coming out of college, so you don't get drafted, and you end up going to play in the Chinese League, which is complete with, you know, all Chinese commentary that you can't understand as you're like the one white guy on the team.
Nice.
Who has like an interpreter that hangs out with him, so he can understand the coach and all that. And it progresses decently. I kind of wish you had more control over your character's dialogue choices, because he just chooses to be an asshole whenever he can.
Yeah.
Which isn't great, but it gets to a point where you play against a team of NBA All-Stars, which after that you meet a guy who was your teammates in college who kind of shirked you off once you revealed that you're an asshole, like a desperate asshole. But you kind of get back together and have some fun. And then you go to the arcades and play NBA 2K Arcade, which is like it kind of looks like a PS2 version of NBA 2K. But with some of the same kind of models from back then, where the jersey kind of hovered over your shoulders instead of rested on them.
Yeah.
And the faces weren't as good and all that, not much facial animation, all that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost like a version of this year's that just has different graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing playing this stuff is that a lot of the ads are for NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, which just came out. So like those are tied into their live like ad servers, like serving that stuff up. And it showed up in this arcade game. It's like,
That wouldn't have existed back then.
Yeah.
This is not how it works. Mm. And you're playing as like the sticks in like 2007, 2008, something like that. It's like, the game sort of live server stuff bleeding into this story moment that doesn't make any sense. Which plays like shit because it's set in the side view camera, which makes it harder to shoot, and I missed many of my free throws because it doesn't use any of the UI that it has in the game for like free throws, so you don't have like a bar that fills up to let you know whether you're close to making it or not. So I made like one or two out of like 15 shots, which not very fun. Just kind of played like shit. So they're not exactly, I assume, going to be chomping at the bit to have like an NBA 2K classic mode in this.
Yeah.
Sort of the way that MLB The Show has the sort of retro mode. Because, that just plays like shit. And it's like, this is a neat thing you did, but you should have made it play well. It's an alright game. You definitely jump into some of the player stuff where you can buy the animations and such for the other modes that aren't available in this thing, but you can sort of like preload them essentially for your account, for your character.
You say it kind of transfers.
Yeah. And there's lots of weird shit in there, but also like the character customization stuff is not good in this version. Because I think you would have to get into that, like they call it like park mode or whatever it is, where you can actually go to like a hairstylist and fine-tune the hair and color and all that stuff. Because otherwise, mine just looks like one of the players on the Cavs, Kevin Love, who is a white guy with, you know, like white guy hair and a beard. It's not really anything like particularly descriptive. They have shitty beard options, which is always annoying. Or it's like, oh, there's like six types of beards. Like, no, there's a lot of them out there. It's like basically the ones that you see on like big name NBA players. It's like there's a lot more than that out there. It's all right. It's a free game on PS4 and Xbox One, and it is it has trophies on the PS4 version. Xbox One doesn't have achievements for whatever reason. I also checked out Disneyland Adventures, which is on Game Pass on Xbox One. And that can be played with a controller, and I see all of the Kinect part of that game. So there's lots of, it highlights a lot of stuff, which I can't do anything with it. But there's also a lot of, like, there's a lot of parts of it that feels like you would be, you know, using your hands to, like, steer a character, that sort of stuff. And I think you could control, like, the arms on the kid you're controlling to, like, make them crazy kids. That would be at Disneyland. But yeah, there's also lots of weird stuff with interacting with the various Disney characters in there. Like the initial stuff you're doing with like Mickey, Minnie, Daisy, Donald, Pluto, and Goofy. Which, and there's a weird bit where Goofy asks you to take a picture book to Donald and ask him to sign it because he won't sign it himself. Oh. Like, he won't sign Goofy's signature book. Like he hates him or something. Some real world context on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Once you actually think like an adult in this game when it's made for kids. And they have some games in there. There's like one that's related to like the fireworks stuff. Which doesn't control well. You're kind of like aiming this cursor to try and hit various icons that are put up in the sky. That's how you cause like the fireworks explosions. Which doesn't control well, but also the threshold for getting the full 3 stars is not very high. So you can get it with a good bit of leeway. But yeah, that game definitely is a kid's game where there's like lots of stuff in there. It's not all the most entertaining things, but there's a lot in there to keep them busy for long periods of time. It also kind of lets me just kind of get a vibe for what Disneyland is because I've never been there. I've been to Disney World. But yeah, and there's also interesting context of collectibles called Hidden Mickeys.
Yep.
Like, oh, here's the Hidden Mickey.
Yeah, that is totally a thing at Disney parks. The architects and the Imagineers, they hide little Mickey silhouettes all over the park.
And then just like, oh, you better watch out or Mickey will give you the Hidden Mickey.
There's even, if you go to the, because like we went to Disney World a few years ago, and if you go into the Emporium over at the Magic Kingdom, they actually, there's like, they have like unofficial guidebooks to the Hidden Mickeys that you can actually buy.
I'm sure they have lots of like smartphone stuff now.
They do.
Tied into it, so like AR stuff and all that. That probably is really great compared to when I went in the 90s.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game's all right. I wouldn't buy it.
Game Pass, so you don't have to.
Yeah, it's like, I know this game from the Giant Bomb video for the Kinect part of it, which they had Will Smith on when he was, I guess, had a pretty good cold going, so he was, you know, sniffling the entire time and maybe running a fever at some point, just being delirious and doing annoying kid stuff, you know, putting his hands in the air and just yelling all the time. It was a good video, and this game definitely can definitely be that kind of game if you want. But yeah, that game's all right, I guess. And that's kind of it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, really, ever since I finished Valkyria Chronicles 4, which I'm sort of trying to put the finishing touches on my review before I start putting it on onto the first draft on the site, I've primarily been playing Mario Odyssey, and actually have gone back and gone a little further than I had after I'd finished that game the first time. So far, now that I now have the King Mario costume now, so that's kind
of
awesome.
The new Zombie Mario costume they put in there?
Yes, I did.
Which is like a weird thing for that game.
Oh, yes, it is.
Hey, kids, Mario's dead.
He's got an axe stuck in his head. Yeah, that's I freaking love that. I remember somebody said, it's not Mario. I'm like, dude, like 50% of the stuff in Mario Odyssey is just not Mario. there's a whole whole kingdom that is not Mario.
I'm surprised they don't have a dead Luigi costume from the direct. No,
they don't. Although Luigi is in the game.
Yeah. Also got a lot of other costumes, make him look like Waluigi or Wario, that sort of stuff.
Or Nintendo or Super Mario 64 Mario. You can also do that. But I also finally got enough moons that I was able to go to the last kingdom that you can go to, which is the dark side of the moon. It's where the Brutals live. So you end up getting to fight them one last time.
You don't get high?
No.
That's not where Mario gets
his pop? You don't get high. There's no Pink Floyd, unfortunately.
Does Pink Floyd sync up with it?
Yeah, although you do finally figure out where all those hats with top hats come from. That's where they're from. And in fact, you fight the Brutals in a gigantic stone carrot.
Okay.
Because rabbits. Which, by the way, that's not even true. Because, you know, rabbits don't eat root vegetables. They eat leafy vegetables. If you try to feed him a carrot, he'll just eat the green stuff that's on it. But whatever. So, other than that, that's pretty much like, because now I'm waiting for what's going to be the next big release, which is Red Dead, which comes out next week.
Yep. Next weekend.
Well, that Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
So other than that, I've pretty much, you know, to sort of occupy my time, I've been doing Netflix stuff and Funimation stuff. First of all, I am currently binging Tenchi Muyo. Like I've said a couple now, Funimation has the entire Tenchi Muyo franchise on available for streaming on their channel. That includes the original OVAs, the movies, Tenchi in Tokyo, the Tenchi TV show, GXP, I Tenchi Muyo, all that stuff. To be watching. But the other major thing I started watching, I am kicking myself now that I have not watched it like in general before. I went on Netflix and I started watching Twin Peaks. The original Twin Peaks.
Okay.
From all the way back in 1990. God damn, that first episode I was like, yep, all right, I'm hooked. I'm ready for this. It's that damn good.
Have you played Deadly Premonition?
Yes, I have.
That's like all that first episode is like, oh, that's that fucking place in Deadly Premonition.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Not even like did anything.
No, he pretty much, Swery pretty much just put all the... In fact, that's the reason why he had to... supposedly, that's the reason why he was forced to add in some of the additional stuff into that game, is because otherwise it was too similar to Twin Peaks. So I guess, you know, this show's almost 30 years old at this point, but I guess I can just sort of... Because, Chris, you've seen it, right?
No, probably not.
Yeah, I've seen the first season.
Okay, you've seen the first season.
I watched a couple episodes of the second season.
Yeah. It's been said that this series kind of goes over the rails by the time of episode 8 of the second season. But so basically, Twin Peaks, it's this show has started way back in the early 90s. It's created by David Lynch, who is like one of the major film auteurs of his generation. You know, Eraserhead, Mulholland Drive, Blue Velvet.
Dune.
That god awful Dune abortion that he did. The one where you can see Sting wearing nothing but a G-string.
That's a bug, not a feature.
Feature, yeah. and the other The other guy I graded is a guy named Mark Frost, who is pretty much the guy. Part of the reason he and David Lynch worked so well is that David Lynch was allowed to go all out in the lunacy, and Mark Frost was given the power to help rein it in. But like the basic premise of the show is that it's this tiny little mountain town called Twin Peaks in Washington, and in the Pacific Northwest. It's about 60 miles from the Canadian border. There's about 15,221 people who live there. And basically, at the very beginning of the show, this guy goes out to go fishing, and a body has washed up onto the shore, and they find out it's this girl named Laura Palmer, who is the homecoming queen. She's like the school idol. Pretty much when she dies, the whole town basically shuts down for the next day or two. Chris, you remember that. That first episode, they really lay the feels on pretty thick.
Yeah, it's very much a setting, like a story setting episode.
Yeah. And so, Laura Palmer's dead there, and now, of course, is the question, who killed her and why? The first immediate suspect is her quote-unquote boyfriend, Bobby, who is kind of a dick. And there's this other dude, this quiet dude named Jamie, who rides a motorcycle. And then once they call in this dude, Dale Cooper, who's like a special agent from the FBI, that's pretty much like the moment he shows up is the moment you realize is when this show starts to go off into wacky land. Because you immediately start to realize that this is basically a town full of crazies. Just a bunch of really, really weird people. There's the log lady who carries around a log everywhere she goes that she talks to. The guy who owns the gas station, his wife, who wears this eye patch and is obsessed with the drapes on the window. The mayor who's like got like one foot in the grave and another grave. And it's just, it gets increasingly weirder from there. Palmer's family, the dad is like, owns the hotel, like the big hotel that's like one of the town's main sources of revenue that they're trying to get foreign investors in. And it gets really weird after that, because as soon Dale is this weird guy he's constantly like really chipper. He rarely, if ever, gets like really like angry or anything. He's always got this smile plastered on his face, and he keeps talking into this tape recorder to this person named Diane about like, you know, what he did that day, what he ate for lunch, you know, what the weather is. And of course, the first thing he's absolutely obsessed with when he gets into the town is the trees, because Twin Peaks is basically covered in Douglas firs. And he's just weirdly obsessed with the trees, but he's also really good at what he does, because he's the guy who is looking at Palmer's body, and he ends up finding basically the first clue to who her killer might be. The whole damn show is just, it's really weird now, because when you go back and watch this show, you realize just how many tropes that this show created, and just how much television has been ripping off from it in the years since. The X-Files, True North, freaking like modern stuff like Alias or Breaking Bad, all kind of rips stuff off from this show. It's good stuff. God, I love it. But, so I finished the first episode last night, and I'm going to, start watching it in earnest tonight. sure if they also got the, because apparently there's also, other than like the long-awaited third season that came out last year, they've got the that movie, that film that came out, Firewalk With Me, which is supposed to be like a prequel and a sequel at the same time. I'm not sure if that's also on Netflix. I'll try and check it. But God, I am so kicking myself that I never watched this show before. It is damn good.
Yeah.
And it somehow still holds up really well, even though it's been almost 30 years. I mean, it's visually, it is 90s as fuck, but somehow it still works really well. And finally, last thing, the world is no longer lava. Yeah, the asshole summer is now gone for good. It is now cold as fuck out there right now, and I'm all bundled up and got the heater on. Kind of a shock to go from like 91 degree weather to suddenly, oh God, I'm freezing my nuts off. Like that's, yeah, the body doesn't react very well to that.
No, sudden changes of temperature, not so good with.
No, not a nut. But, all right. So, I do believe that's all I got. So, we got anything we want to add on before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. All right. Well, then, I guess it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I'm going to have a more substantial one to talk about next week because, you know, that's going to be our show before Halloween. This week, I'm going to talk about something that I kind of briefly touched on the Day Zero update some time ago in my pick of the week. But this time, I'll get to be able to sort of go into it a bit more in detail. So back in, like, when we think of gaming in the 80s, what do we think of? We think of stuff like Pac-Man, Galaga, Tempest, stuff like that, right? Relatively non-threatening, blocky. And then, by the time the 90s came around, suddenly the controversy of violence in video games suddenly became like a major front page news, right? All of a sudden, with Mortal Kombat, it was always the same four games: Mortal Kombat, Thrill Killer, Lethal Enforcers, and Night Trap. And of all three of those, only one of them has managed to still exist. The other three franchises basically were dead and buried by the time anybody gave a shit. But before then, there was that somehow in all of that chaos, there was one little game, one really ultra violent game that came out in 1987, and it was in several arcades all over the world. Most of them, weirdly enough, not in the U.S. There was like maybe a dozen or so of them that actually showed up in the U.S. Most of them were marketed out into third world countries because, like all the other crap we do, we eventually end up dumping it on them. But it was a little game. It was a light gun game, which were very popular back then. You're thinking, Duck Hunt or... No, it wasn't Duck Hunt. It was a little game called Chiller. Oh, my God, Chiller.
Yeah, this one was a bad one.
In more ways than you can count. So Chiller was created by a company called Exidy. Now, Exidy had gotten into the arcade game in the mid-70s, right around the time when Space Invaders and Asteroids had started taking off, and people realize there's more longevity and stuff into this whole video game thing. It isn't just Pong, which itself was a rip-off of something much better. And so out of there came this little company called Exidy. And Exidy basically was a sort of a, I guess, second or third rate company that in hindsight, very little of their actual work had anything that was really substantial, that really added anything substantial to the actual industry. You know, nothing like scenario-wise or technology-wise. It was mostly they made their money on two factors. One, they exploited a new market, and two, controversy. Hmm. And they first became famous, even though they'd already put out like a company, a couple of games by then, but they didn't really hit it off until 1976. They had already put out some games called like Circus, which I think was like kind of like a ripoff of Circus Darley. They did a game called Destruction Derby, which was, you know, a demolition derby game. But it was the game they put out in 1976 that really made them famous, and for all the wrong reasons. It was a little game called Death Race. Now, if you're a somewhat moderate cinephile like we are, you may have heard of a little B-movie that was produced by Roger Corman back in the day called Death Race 2000, which was a dystopian flick. It had Sylvester Stallone, David Carradine was the hero. And basically, it was about a dystopian United States where there was this game that was played where all these cars went around a sort of cross-country drive and tried to mow down as many civilians as they could to score points. So they took that idea, and they adapted it to this game where you play a blocky little white car that drives around the screen trying to hit these little quote-unquote gremlins that are barely any different than like actual people. The only really net reason you know they're actually quote gremlins is because of the cabinet art on the side. And you drive over, and then there'd be like this little red splotch that would show up that meant, oh, you'd hit one, he's dead. Add points. And remember, this is like a good 15, 20 years before Mortal Kombat. So, as you can imagine, the press at the time was not happy. Once the word started getting around, some guy who worked for the Associated Press put out an editorial calling the game immoral. Then it was picked up by 60 Minutes and eventually became like major news in the New York Times. It was the first big like video game violence controversy, and Exidy absolutely reaped the rewards because ain't no publicity like controversy. And they bought up Death Race cabinets by the dozens. And that was basically what made Exidy famous. But by the early 80s, you know, Exidy was kind of on the bend. Because by that time, you know, not only gaming itself, but the technology had actually gotten more sophisticated, right? Because suddenly you had, you know, Pac-Man, which you know, by 84, when Pac-Man, like, really debuted in earnest, that was just a video game. That was a phenomenon. Like, it was straight a pop cultural phenomenon that is, it's really difficult to really equate it to a lot of things. Like, if you thought, like, the craze over Angry Birds was crazy, it's got nothing over what was happening with Pac-Man. It was so popular that there was a song that topped the charts.
It was a whole album.
Pac-Man Fever. A whole album by Buckner and Garcia.
Yeah.
All about video games that were coming out back, that came out back then.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong, you know, Galaga, Centipede. So, you know, Exidy could no longer really rely on the whole controversy thing. Like, at that point, the only, like, real hit they'd had in the early 80s was this game called Crossbow, which was a... It was, again, it was another light gun game where you went through a desert in a cave in a village, and he shot monsters with a you know, a plastic crossbow peripheral that was, you know, hooked to the you know, the machine. Mm-hmm. And so by the late 80s, XD was kind of at that point where they're just on the cusp of going under, that really they just kind of throw up their hands and they just don't give a shit anymore. And so they told their programmers, yo, guys, next product we're putting out, don't hold nothing back, just go all out. You know, just that is exactly what they fucking did. So in 1987, Chiller came out. And you know what? I'm just going to give you this little screenshot here just to sort of give you an idea of what we're talking about here. This image right here. So you're probably looking at that image right now and you're thinking, okay, Brandon, explain it to me. What the fuck am I looking at here? This is the first level of Chiller. No, they did not fucking hold back at all. Like, this is literally the first thing you see. The first level of Chiller, which is, again, just a light gun shooting gallery game. There's no plot. There's no overarching objective other than trying to get points. That's it. This is the first stage you see, this torture room, where you've got all of these poor people, you know, hooked up to chains and torture devices, a guillotine. There's some severed heads on a shelf. And you're told to basically take your gun and just shoot everything in sight. And I will give them props for the amount of interactivity they put in here, because there's some factors in this game that, you know, if you experiment enough, you can get some pretty amazing shit. You know, too bad that they kind of already spoil it for you at the beginning when they tell you what to get points from. But, so like, if you shoot the rope on the guillotine, it will fall down and chop off the poor bastard's head and hands. If you shoot the crank on the grate presser over there on the left a couple of times, it will keep going until it completely crushes this dude's head. And as for the rest of them, you just take a bunch of chunks out of them. And they aren't subtle about the gore either. You don't just see blood, you see blood and muscles and bone and sinew. And for some reason, seeing it in like this weird 18-bit, like 8-bit version is, I don't know how it's somehow more disturbing, but it is. Like, this is something they'd find and like hooked up to like a Nintendo at the serial killer's house. But the game doesn't just stop there, no, because after that you go into the dungeon. And in the dungeon, there's even more poor people hooked up to horrible torture devices, this time racks. And there's this other guy who's hanging on a rope above a river of blood. And you can shoot the you know, the crank that's keeping him up, and as he gets lowered into the river of blood, he gets chunks bitten out of him by an alligator that's swimming inside of it. You can shoot the cranks on the rack, and so many times that eventually their legs are separated from their torso. Then after that, it just kind of pussies out. Because the next one is just like a regular haunted house setting where it's got like the monster heads, you know, swimming around, and there's like ghosts ducking in and out of doors. It's literally like one of those chase scenes from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. You know, those last two levels were actually supposed to be the first two.
Yeah. Funny. But
then XD, like I said, just do whatever the fuck you want. Those last two were already done, and then they did the other two and put them up first.
So yeah. And then finally, after you finish that one, the last one is the graveyard. And the graveyard, there's like zombies and living dead trying to crawl out of the ground. One of the graves is an open gate into hell with, you know, fire coming out. There's this dude who's like strolling around, like a monk who's strolling around with a corpse cart, I I guess, with a bunch of body parts. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to mention the last time I talked about this. There's that poor cheerleader girl that's buried up to her waist in the ground. Yeah, if shoot her shirt off, get tits.
Yeah. Yeah, this game was completely shameless.
Yeah. This game is, like, 100% shameless. And if you manage to, like, go back and get, like, all the shoot all the areas to get the extra points, you get, like, a bonus stage, which is, like, in front of a haunted mansion where you get to shoot, like, a bunch of floating skulls and shit. You know, nobody gives a shit. It's really the first two levels that everyone cares about, and the third for that minor detail I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Because as far as I know, that's, like, the first mainstream version of open nudity in a video game. Outside of Japan.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was chiller, and literally outside the arcades, the only other way you can play this game is with, like, a bootleg NES version, which is nowhere near as impressive graphically, but somehow still manages to be rather disturbing on its own.
Yeah.
Eventually Exidy kind of just dissolved in the early 90s, because, I mean, at that point, what the hell are you going to do to top that?
Yeah, and they were broke, so.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of shot your wad here. What are you going to do now? And, you know, now that I consider it with our modern internet culture, I'm surprised no one's tried to, you know, open up the Unity engine or something and try and remake this shit. I really don't want to think about that.
Yeah, wait long enough, somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, we should kickstart that. We could make a lot of cash. All right, but yeah, that was chiller. You know, when people tell you, it's like, you know, it's one of those instances where you're thinking, like, man, games have gotten so violent these days. You have no idea.
Yep.
Yeah, at least Mortal Kombat had a semblance of a plot. This is just carnage for carnage's sake.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, and that has been yet another exciting edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. I love fucking talking about that game. Because
it's just so absurd.
Yeah, and it just completely sort of blows your preconception of what, like, video games in the 80s looked like. But, alright, so. It's now time to start the show proper, and as always, we start off with Asshole of the Week. And, for the first time in a couple weeks, it's Donald Trump. So those of you who don't know, Stormy Daniels, the now famous porn star, famous for, I'm guessing, something she really wished she wasn't famous for. She had her lawsuit against Donald Trump dismissed, and also ordered that, you know, she's going to have to pay Donald's legal fees. So Trump, you know, to sort of just kick her while he's done, he went on Twitter and called her a horse face.
Yep. Yeah, his tweet says, let's see, federal judge throws out Stormy Daniels, doesn't have the E at the end.
Yeah.
Lawsuit versus Trump. Trump is entitled to full legal fees. At Fox News, great, now I can go after Horseface and her third-rate lawyer in the great state of Texas. She will confirm the letter she signed. She knows nothing about me, a total con. To which she said, ladies and gentlemen, may I present your president? In addition to his shortcomings, he has demonstrated his incompetence, hatred of women, and lack of self-control on Twitter again. And perhaps a penchant for bestiality?
Yep.
Come on. Game on, Tiny. And then Michael Avenatti jumps in and calls him disgusting misogynist and embarrassment to the United States and all this sort of stuff. But yeah.
True. It's just, you know, I think, like, Twitter is, like, the best thing for Donald Trump. Because he's because he's, like, constantly putting up more nails into his coffin that are public for everybody to see.
Yeah.
So, we got that going for us, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, this is going to be his legacy. You know, like, I'm not surprised right now if, you know, at least 10 years down the line, somebody collects all of these tweets and publishes them in a book. You know, yeah, with, like, commentary on each one.
Yeah.
And
people are already doing that. They're,
yeah,
at least they're working on it.
And that's going to be his legacy.
Yeah.
Because he can't think that far ahead. He is a person who always thinks in the now. There is no, like, future planning for him.
Yeah.
It's always the immediate gratification.
So, yeah, there actually is a, what they call the Donald J. Trump Presidential Twitter Library book.
Mm-hmm.
Done by The Daily Show.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, all right.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so to sort of move on from that, because that's just, in as far as Trump is concerned, that's, in like the level of awful shit that he's done, that's just kind of childish.
Mm-hmm.
Which is apparently the low, which is apparently like the best you can say about that.
Yeah.
So we're going to go on from there. We're going to talk about our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is whatever good citizen out there in my home state of Georgia, sweet Georgia, went out and attached a pair of googly eyes to a statue of Nathaniel Green.
And that got the government pretty pissed.
Of course he did.
They put out a message on their Facebook, the City of Savannah government. Who did this? Someone placed googly eyes on our historic hashtag Nathaniel Green statue in hashtag Johnson Square. It may look funny, but harming our historic monuments and public property is no laughing matter. In fact, it's a crime. We're hoping to find the person responsible. If you have information, please call Savannah Police Department. And the best thing they do is they actually show the picture of it. With, if saying it's not a laughing matter, and I assume 100% of people look at this just burst out laughing.
Because
it is exactly as funny as you'd think it is.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What is it, somebody going to do next week? Put a strap on the statue?
Eesh. Yeah, so, let's see, they took the, oh, this is a great sentence here, the eyes were quickly removed and did not appear to do any damage to the statue, said Green, the officer, not the statue. She added that the stunt is technically trespassing. Just, they talked to a, an officer who also is named Green.
Hmm. Yeah. Like, they had to clarify that.
And of course it didn't fucking hurt the statue. It's fucking googly eyes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Just,
googly eyes make everything better.
You have sticker glue on the back and sticks on, then you take it off.
Yeah. For those who are curious, Nathaniel Green was a general in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys who helped keep the British forces out so that they'd never could never occupy any of the states in the South. That's about the extent of his fame.
Yeah. The most disappointing part was this wasn't a Confederate statue.
Yeah, if this was like Jefferson Davis or something, I'd be even happier.
Mm.
But, no. So we just have to settle for that.
Yeah.
Whoever did it, by the way, did you ever know that you're my hero? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and now it's time for the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we have an RIP that we have to mention. Paul Allen, who co-founded Microsoft with Bill Gates way back in the 70s, passed away this week.
At 65.
65 so years old. Yep.
He had his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma flare up again the past couple weeks that he had gotten rid of in 2009.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even tweeted, I think about 2 weeks ago, just had surgery on this. Doctors are positive for full recovery. And obviously, didn't go as well as...
Didn't happen.
Yep.
No, didn't go as well as you had hoped. Yeah, considering, you know, as far as tech billionaires go, he was like one of the least shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a pretty decent guy. He started the, what was it, the Experience Music Project in Seattle, that big music museum that they got over there.
Yep.
Yeah. Really nice.
He owns the Portland Trailblazers and the NBA and the Seattle Seahawks and the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
On a stake in their MLS team in Seattle, the Sounders.
Mm. Yeah, or did. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, weird thing is he doesn't have any children.
No.
So no real obvious heirs, but I assume that stuff probably goes to his sister and brothers.
Yeah, I think so. So
family.
Or maybe a trust or a foundation, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm looking through this article, and it's like they mention that he's an electric guitarist. Like, they just kind of glance over that.
Yeah.
This guy was, like, Jimi Hendrix level good.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, yep. There's that. There's some videos of him playing on YouTube if you want to check him out. I recommend it.
Yeah, prepared to be amazed, because he was damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sad to see him go, because he also started Tech TV, and, well, I was a big fan of that, until it turned into
V4. Yeah, so was I.
Mm. And then it sucked.
Yeah. Then it became G4, and then it was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, God, I just, the memory started flaring up, and I just, it felt like millions of voices were suddenly silenced.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. All right. So next story we had this week, Senator Elizabeth Warren. For those of you who don't know, she's been in kind of a feud with President Trump over amongst a number of other things. The fact that Trump has been constantly poo-pooing her, claiming that she does not have any Native American heritage in her ancestry.
I'm calling her Pocahontas every chance he can get. Make sure you know he's racist.
Yeah. Well, so she apparently finally just got... Okay, so here's also what you need to know. Trump said that if she could prove without a shadow of a doubt that she had Native American ancestry in her bloodline, he would give $1 million to a charity of her choice.
Hmm.
Well, she did that this week.
And that she believed him is really dumb.
Yeah.
Because he's bullshit con artist.
Yeah, but she also kind of wanted... I guess it was just for the sake of, like, you know, a moral victory.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, balls in your court, Donald. But the thing is, he has no morals, so...
He has no shame.
Yeah. But anyway, she went and got a DNA test done, and she, in fact, does have Native American ancestry. Problem is, though, is that the amount she has is about the amount that I have... which is consequential at best.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the way DNA works is, you know, unless you have a significant amount of people that are Native American ancestry, you're not going to have that much in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's not like your DNA is half your parents, you know, half your mom, half your dad, then their parents, that's a quarter. It's like, it doesn't work like that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, DNA is more like a constant rolling record of pretty much every human that's ever happened before you.
Yeah, so she's mostly white, and then there's this one Native American woman in there.
Mm.
So that's still mostly white.
Mm.
You know, mostly, like I said, like I said, just like me, consequential at best.
But still there, but nobody really cares.
Yeah.
So I think somebody brought that up to Donald Trump. He's like, who cares? And fucking shits on her the next night. It's like, yeah, you're never going to win.
Because that's who he is. That's just...
You don't feed the troll.
Yeah.
You either oust him out of office and that's how you shame him.
Yeah.
Or
you oust him out of office and then never let him live it down.
Yeah.
You know, that is if, you know, he can get Twitter in prison. Yeah, I fucking said it.
That would be actually a good sentence for him. No yeah. Twitter.
All right.
Or he only gets to do Twitter with the Russian bots.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of Russia, by the way, thanks. Good save there, Chris.
That wasn't even intentional.
Yeah. The Department of Justice filed the very first charges this week alleging Russian election interference for 2018.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're already trying to do shit.
Yeah, these are filed against Elena Alexeyevna Kusyanova on September 28th, but were unsealed today.
Mm-hmm.
In Virginia, and are the first such charges relating to the current election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of centered around this account, chief account for Project Latka. Lakta, which began in 2014 to conduct, quote, political and electoral interference operations.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, Trump continues to deny it.
Yep.
No, Russia didn't have anything to do with it. Not really. They didn't.
Yep. It's
well, they definitely have to do with this one. That much we can confirm. I don't know if you've been paying attention to Russian news lately, but so we don't actually, we aren't talking about it on the show this week because we're kind of waiting for more of the facts to come out, but that it looks like Saudi Arabia had a exiled, for all purpose, Saudi American citizen assassinated in Turkey who was a journalist because they didn't like what he was talking about the current and it looks like Donald Trump, the Trump administration, may or may not have unwittingly assisted them in that matter. And because of that, now, or like Putin recently had this speech where he talked about how if people in Russia died because of nuclear war, they would die as martyrs. Like that kind of shit. And of course, Russia also denied helping Saudi Arabia assassinate this guy. So right now, shit in Russia is kind of going off the rails. And, this is kind of not helping.
No.
We've already got evidence enough now that we can actually charge Russian individuals trying to interfere with the midterms.
Hmm.
Yeah. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. It's not even so much that they're Russian, we should be clear. It's just the fact that, okay, you're not supposed to do that. That's kind of against the law, sort of.
Yeah.
Very highly.
Yeah. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And if there's one thing I've come to realize over the last 2 years is that there is a lot of fucking people who are ignorant of the law. corporate personhood does not mean that freedom of speech somehow is somehow protected inside a private company, jackass. Whatever. We'll see what comes of this. Again, reminder, 2 weeks, 4 days. Moving on next, by now we're all very well of the large amount of horrible crimes committed by Larry Nassar, who assaulted a bunch of teenage girls for the USA gymnastics team while he was working as a physician underneath them. And now the interim president has had to, because for those who don't know, the former president of the USA gymnastics was arrested for tampering with evidence during, relating to the Larry Nassar case. And now, after only 4 days of work, the interim president has had to resign because of his role in trying to defend Larry Nassar.
Yeah, first off,
this whole organization is just rotten from top to bottom.
Yeah, and the people that are running this don't seem to realize maybe you should get the input of the gymnasts that are currently the stars.
Yeah, the actual girls.
Yeah, talk like, to them. They're the ones that have been abused.
Mm-hmm.
Run it by them first. So this involves Mary Bono, who I found out was married to...
Sonny Bono. Yep. Yeah, she was also a senator for a while.
Yep. So, yeah. The
she took over his, I think she took over his seat after he had his skiing accident. But,
yeah. But yeah, so she was... She first went... started this job on October 12th. Gone by the 16th.
Yep.
Because people found out a few things about her. First, that back in September when the Colin Kaepernick promotion for Nike happened,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people got mad at Nike, burned their shoes, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
She also joined in on this,
mm-hmm.
Saying that I believe she forgot to get some other shoes in her bag, so she had a Sharpie. And, you know, filled in or colored over the swoosh, the white trim on the swoosh.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she would fix her problem, I guess. I don't know. Which, you know, not great for a program that is looking to get new sponsorship. Mm-hmm. And Nike's one of those companies that potentially is looking into sponsoring them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was pointed out by Simone Biles and a couple others. Simone Biles says, you're a mouth drop. Don't worry, it's not like we needed a smarter USA Gymnastics president or any sponsors or anything. but yeah, also involved in this is that she worked at a law firm. Let's see, what was it? Fager Baker Daniels, which was the group that Larry Nassar used.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked for them, helped on the defense. And that group back in 2015 was told about this stuff, and they helped provide fake excuses for Nassar's
yep.
absence from major gymnastics events.
Uh-huh.
Keeping that away from parents and potential gymnasts, that meant he could do some more stuff over the next year or so after that. So, yeah, not another strike against somebody that's supposed to be in charge of this program.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, the pressure and all that was a bit more than what she could withstand, and she resigned. And the resignation letter, I don't think I have it here, but she essentially... was like, let's see, my withdrawal comes in the wake of personal attacks that, left undefended, would have made my leading USA Gymnastics a liability for the organization. But then goes on to say that she was also a victim of sexual abuse and knows that experience of not knowing who to talk about that all that well. And like that, and kind of trying to say, so I could have been, you know, a great president to help out on this stuff, and shame on you for attacking me for this stuff. And it's like,
bitch, fuck you. How
can you get?
Yeah, like, no, you have shitty stuff in your history of adding to this stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No matter what your experience with abuse and all that, that doesn't make it right
hmm.
to do that, to continue the cycle, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she obviously has to leave. And at this point, essentially, you should be running it by, you know, Simone Biles, Ali Raisman, and all the others. They should be heavily involved because they're the faces of the organization right now.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to the allegations, all that, they have tons of social power of this stuff. And so, like many other pro sports, like, the stars should have a say in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise you run the risk of them just saying, you know what, we're out. We're not coming to the next Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, along with that, Steve Penny, who was the president back in the 2015 and before that, when all the stuff started going down, And he was just arrested Wednesday night for allegedly tampering with evidence in the Larry Nassar case. He allegedly removed documents from the Carol Yee Ranch, the U.S. gymnastics training facility in Huntsville, Texas. The indictment further alleges that the removal of the documents was done for the purpose of impairing the ongoing investigation by destroying or hiding the documents. And they have not been recovered. He was the last person known to have been in possession of them. He faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted. And so, yeah. Not
great stuff from that organization.
Yep.
God, it's just... like I said, that whole organization, it just, it needs a purge. It needs it bad.
Yeah. Sadly, I kind of think that's this kind of thing that happens in pretty much all organized sports organizations, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Especially when it comes to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if there's, like, scandals in FIFA that are even worse. But
oh, there's tons with FIFA.
Yeah.
Especially with various types of mafia and all that.
Oh, yeah, organized crime, all that shit. Yep. Yeah. Well, now to move on to something a lot more pleasant. As of Wednesday this week, you can now have marijuana recreationally in the country of Canada.
Yeah. Despite Trump's best efforts.
Yep. And if you haven't noticed lately, Canada is not on fire.
Nope.
It is about as nice and syrupy as it's always been.
Mm.
Yep, and they're running low on supplies, from what I've seen. And especially I've seen people suggest the post office is on the verge of striking. Yep. Yeah, it's going to make it a lot worse.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a worry.
Yeah,
is not the first time that they were gonna strike last year, but they came to to an accord. Kind of hoping that they're gonna be able to come to an agreement this year, but yeah, talks right now not too positive. So yeah. They actually might end up striking.
And if the post office ends up going striking, I mean, Canada kind of just shuts down for a while.
Yeah, but yeah.
You don't get your fun packages in your mailbox.
Nope. But now, so here's another interesting topic that's come up because of that. Even though, it's now legal nationwide in Canada, it's still not legal nationwide here in the U.S. There's only, it's still only legal in, and I don't even mean, recreational legal. I only mean, it's legal in one shape or form to some degree in about 15 states. Mm-hmm. And
it's illegal on the federal level over there, so that's
yeah, and worse. If you obviously, if you try to transport across the border, you will be prosecuted. But it's also been rumored now that if you are now have somehow known to use it within Canadian territory, but don't bring it over with you or don't even smoke it at all here in the United States, they will put up a serious fuss.
Hmm.
If they know that you are a regular user. It's a really stupid bullshit situation. It's just really stubborn assholes kind of, burying their heels and just, not budging because they're too goddamn proud, and also because, there's certain money interests that doesn't want marijuana to become a thing over here. But that's a story for another time.
Yeah. Seems like one of the big issues is just lack of stores in some areas.
Yeah, apparently they massively underestimated the demand.
That and the people approving these licenses very much waited to the last minute for some of them.
Yeah.
Or some stores barely opened in time for it to go legal, and some are still waiting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
We'll sort that out fairly quickly.
In due time. Canada tries to be chill about this type of thing.
Mm.
Old country whose motto is, sorry to bother you, eh? All right, so next story we got, and by the way, if you haven't figured out by now, this is basically the we've already crossed the serious part of the show into the holy shit part of the show. For example, next story, over in Australia, the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Australia, was supposed to send out a meeting invite to folks in Australia, and unfortunately, they accidentally mass sent out a cat picture, which is, like, somehow very internet.
Yeah, it was a picture of a cat in a Cookie Monster, like, onesie, holding a plate of cookies.
Okay. That's... I guess you could use that as a meeting invite? I don't know.
That's
the same purpose.
Setting high expectations.
yeah.
They said in response, sorry to disappoint those of you who are hoping to attend this cat pajama jam party. But such an event falls well outside our area of expertise. It was a training error made by one of our new staff testing out our email newsletter platform.
Oops.
Go ahead and throw your boy Paul under the bus.
And it seems like this kind of stuff happens because there's no U.S. ambassador in Australia right now.
Mm. Nope.
So it's kind of literally like people that are, you know, freshly trained.
Yeah.
Like interns over there, basically.
Mm-hmm. They're the guys just sort of holding down the fort.
Yeah. Well, with the shit that's going on in Australia right now, I wouldn't want to be there either.
Nope. Yeah, we should tell them a little bit about the shit that's currently going on in Australia. Yeah.
That whole, well, the whole premier who basically got ousted. So mm-hmm. that was fun.
Yeah. They're kind of in a... they're kind of in a political flux right now, so we'll see where that goes. But anyway, this next one is this is out of your neck of the woods, Chris. Does it's Toronto? Huh?
Yeah, apparently Toronto, so it's closer to me.
Yeah,
we now have Toronto, man.
It's on the other side of a giant lake.
Mm-hmm. Toronto, man. He decided to skinny dip at the shark tank at Ripley's Aquarium.
Yep.
Okay.
Managed to evade police, which is not necessarily just for that. He has a violent assault that happened earlier in the evening, so this was a whole evening for him.
Mm. By the way, what day of the week was this on?
Late Friday.
Okay. I wonder what the connection could be.
this would have happened before legalization.
Yeah. yeah, he's from Nelson, B.C.
Mm-hmm.
British Columbia. Yeah, assault causing bodily harm. Let's see. The assault took place outside the Medieval Times attraction at Exhibition Place around 8 p.m. Friday. The victim suffered serious injuries. I believe the assailant fled and headed to the aquarium around 5 kilometers east. Mm-hmm. Officers were called to the popular tourist attraction 2 hours later. And yeah, somebody managed to get a shot of this guy skinny dipping. Was it on YouTube?
Because, Jesus.
Yep. Let's see. It has dozens of marine animals, including 17 sharks. He's doing the breaststroke on the surface while sand tiger sharks swim within centimeters of his feet. Green sawfish, green sea turtles, green moray eels, and other tropical fish are in the tank.
None of whom seem to give a fuck.
Oh.
No. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? I don't want to be anywhere near this guy.
Yeah, I don't. We want no part of this.
Yeah.
We've already been being humiliated by having to be in an aquarium. This is just... Come on, man. Throw us a bone here.
Yeah.
Oh, and not geez. That kind.
Yep.
But, all right, next up, story out of New Zealand, and somehow it's just the most New Zealand thing they can do. The country of New Zealand has officially crowned its bird of the year, the kereru, because it gets drunk on fermented fruit.
Yep. It's a big chubby bird.
Mm-hmm.
that likes to eat fermented fruit, and that means it gets kind of drunk.
Yeah, they should. The creator should head over to Minnesota and hang out with the other birds there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Like they're having plenty of fun over in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Like a bird bender.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Goddamn. You know, I'm glad that at least that they have that. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and there's an account called Kiruru 4PM. Essentially suggesting that they should vote this bird in for their prime minister.
For prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Probably might actually do better than the current one, who was a complete nutcase. Anyways.
Square. All right. Next story is out of Kleenex, which, by the way, is the name of the brand. It's not the name of the product. Product is a tissue, not a Kleenex, which, but they are now deciding that they're going to rename their man-sized tissues to extra large. The reason is because of complaints of sexism.
Yep. Apparently they've had these things for 6 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like the slogan on it is confidently strong, comfortingly soft.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you can't feel strong with a normal Kleenex.
Nope.
You need something bigger.
Yep. So these launched in 1956, claiming they would stay strong when wet. They should all do that.
They kind of should, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Isn't that kind of the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Later this year, they will be rebranded as Kleenex Extra Large. So that it's less, stupid, I guess.
Yeah. Well, man size was always a dumb name. So.
Yeah. Especially when you see the boxes and it's like, this is the thing that's still happening.
Yeah.
They can't just say these are extra large.
Yeah.
There are actual brands out there of stuff that are still like, this is for men.
Yeah.
This is shampoo for men. Cause men hair needs men shampoo.
Yeah. It's well, it's grape juice people are trying to do that now. They're trying to associate their grape juice with manliness.
Just call it drank. Grape drink.
Yeah. It's drank.
Yeah.
That
with X,
I guess.
It's your cough syrup, yeah.
Mm.
Next up, this one is... okay, so the NBA, National Basketball Association, they have their G League, right?
Yeah, it's their developmental league.
So they've decided to offer contracts to high school prospects, elite high school prospects, and the reason they're doing this is they're trying to avoid the NCAA's one-year rule.
Yeah, essentially, this whole thing is that NCAA is kind of relaxing some of their rules, allowing players to, if they declare for the draft after their 1 year required and they don't get drafted, they can actually come back, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And so this is kind of playing into that whole thing where this whole 1 year, one and done rule is probably going to go by the wayside at some points, and this is sort of the NBA's way to offer some development stuff without necessarily require them to go to college where they're not really getting any benefit out of the college experience. They have these select contracts that would pay them about $125,000 for the year for players who are at least 18 years old but not eligible for the NBA draft. Some players go to foreign leagues over to Europe or China or something like that. But most go to college. But this is really interesting because going to the G League, do you know why it's called the G League?
Nope.
Gatorade sponsors it.
No.
It was the D League before for developmental.
It's all sponsored. For stupid reasons.
Yep. But yeah, so That gets them into the NBA system. They get, you know, benefits from the being in the NBA infrastructure, you know, coaching and all that stuff. That's can be really helpful for certain players. And so, yeah, this is a pretty neat thing they're doing. I think it's starting for next summer, 2019. It'll be interesting to see how this goes, because right now there are things going on with NCAA where, you know, accusations of companies paying to try to influence players to go to certain colleges. a lot of that sort of shady stuff that, you know, has blown up big time over the last couple of years. And, yeah, so this is going to be an interesting couple of years for the NCAA and the NBA and all the players that are trying to come into the league around that time.
Yeah. It's going to be, well, I mean, for a lot of kids that get, like, scouted for this kind of program, it's probably going to be ideal for them because, one, like you said, the college experience doesn't really do much for them, but the tuition doesn't do much for them either.
Yeah, because they get free rides.
Pretty much. So, the whole college sports in general are crooked as all hell. Like, honestly, this would probably be a better fit.
And it's very much piled up against the player because they can't take any money. Like, at most, they get their, like, meal tickets and such that they get with the scholarships. Yeah. But they're also not allowed to, like, capitalize on their fame in any way.
Yeah.
Which has resulted in, you know, essentially, like, players can not sell their image. The NCAA would do it for them. And so, like, make lots of money off of their own image, which is also not great. But I think that's part of NCAA's relaxing of rules, is that players would be able to have more control over that stuff. But then it also, people, like, point out, like, but the coaches have, you know, huge contracts, you know, upwards of $10 million a year, and they can sell their image and all that, too, and all this, like, double standard stuff. But yeah, this is going to be interesting to see how this goes over the next few years, especially with the G League starting to expand to the point where most every NBA team is going to have their own G League team. So it's like, well, how do you decide which player goes where? Do you have like a draft for the G League that the stuff goes in, or do specific teams sign them in the way that like baseball does it? Where like a lot of international talent just gets scouted and draft signed by the teams.
Yep.
Where that's all has had some shady stuff as well. Where people go after kids when they're 13, 14 before they're legally allowed to sign those sorts of deals and such. But yeah.
We'll see.
All right. So next story. Now, originally, this happened a couple weeks ago, and it made, like, big headlines all over the world. Street artist Banksy, he was going to put up for auction a piece he did of a stencil of a girl trying to get a red balloon. And put it out, and it sold for big money at auction, you know, like a good million-something dollars, right?
$1.4 million.
Yeah. And then the moment the gavel came down, hidden mechanism in the frame started, and it basically shredded the piece about halfway, partially shredding it. Well, this week we found out that actually that thing was supposed to completely destroy it. They've got photos of them doing test after test, and every time they tested it, it worked absolutely perfectly. And then that one time, it decided. malfunction on them.
Yeah, and there was like conspiracies like, oh, it was supposed to stop where it was, to shred like up to the girl's head, and then the balloon is okay. It's like, it's commentary, man.
Yeah.
It's art. It's like, no, it's just a tech fuck up.
Yeah. Like, look, Banksy is a pretty cool, is a pretty awesome dude and everything, but even he doesn't think that far ahead.
Yeah.
No, and like, you know, if you're buying this piece and you're there at the auction, do you not maybe look at that frame and that whole contraption and think, you know, maybe there's something different here?
Yeah, that looks frame a little is bit awfully strange. Thick.
Yeah, it's it looks like it's just a weird frame that's really huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he said he's going to keep it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's
well,
gone
I mean,
up
it's half shredded now, so now it's more valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just pretty funny the way it turns out.
Just,
yeah.
Supposed to be this one kind of commentary, and then it turns into a different kind of commentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All over just some fucked up tech issues.
Honestly, Banksy couldn't have planned this better.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they got $1 million out of it, so I don't think he's too upset about it.
Oh, but all right. So next up, now we got some tech news to throw at you. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, committing $1 billion towards its curriculum because they're going to be making artificial intelligence AI a core part of its future curriculum for all its students.
Yep, which makes a lot of sense because that's where a lot of things are going right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this $1 billion. Let's see, $350 million comes from Blackstone Investment Firm CEO Steven Schwarzman, which is who the new building is going to be named after. $300 million has been raised for this project, and I'm not sure where the rest comes from. Probably the school itself. But yeah, it's going to be called the Stephen A. Schwarzman College of Computing, which will work on incorporating computing and AI into all fields of study at MIT, encouraging cross-disciplinary endeavors and exploring ways to create a shared structure between the university's five existing schools. And so, yeah, that's going to be, let's see, it's going to open in 2022. Or no. Yeah, it's going to be in a new building in 2022, but the new college is going to be opening up next fall.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. More education is better,
yeah,
is what I'd say.
We're now that bitch closer to Skynet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We might not.
No, we might not.
We might be dead.
Yeah. Because, you know, climate change.
Yeah.
Happening.
Alexa, launch the nuke.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Next up, Winamp. Yep. Winamp's coming back, folks.
Yep. New version coming, and I wonder if it will still whip the llama's ass.
I think it's going to whip it harder.
Oh, yeah. Basically, it's coming back. It's aiming to be the all-in-one place app for all your music and services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's especially going to be on iOS and Android.
Mm-hmm.
Which also interesting is that Winamp got the current version got its first update in about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Made it compatible with Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is good, and I assume it still looks like Winamp. Yeah, all the crazy skins and all that stuff.
Yep.
So the plan is to update Winamp for both desktop and mobile, so it'll be a single searchable experience for all the audio you consume from different sources.
Mm-hmm.
They declined to detail which services it would support and how it would integrate that stuff into it.
Yeah.
But if that works as well as they are confident in it, that could be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, having all these different programs, like, okay, I'm going to launch my Amazon thing.
And then Amazon or your Spotify or your Deezer
or your
whatever.
Google mm-hmm. Music stuff. And
yeah.
Apple, like, all this stuff. It's like, yeah, this is kind of a mess.
Yeah. Well, I don't expect Apple Music to work with this because Apple is notoriously, yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but their player, at least on PC, is shit.
It's garbage.
Yep.
Yes.
So they should be begging for anybody to encourage more people to buy their stuff any way they can.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to download the desktop version now that it's gotten an update and try it out again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I can get rid of iTunes. So yeah. Much better.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess this will be Winamp 6 and release next year.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it was, I think the last one was 5.666 or something.
5.8, I think, is the new one. Okay.
God, I wish it was. It was. That would have been fucking perfect.
Well, they did have, that was the one of the versions that they did release.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like searching Winamp on Google. It says Winamp, it really whips the llama's ass. So they still know what they're doing here.
Yep.
Yep. All right, well.
So. Oh, 5.8 Infinity. They have a sign.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess it's because we're not updates anymore.
Exactly. All right. Next story is out of Japan. The new Kyocera phone. It is in Japan, and it is, once again, just another example of how we're trying to get our technology smaller and smaller and smaller. It's the size of a credit card.
And it has an e-ink screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of black with white icons.
Mm.
No camera, no app store. So it's kind of a set device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it very much kind of seems like the smartphone version of getting a flip phone in 2018. Like, you don't want any of the new stuff. You just want to do the simple things.
There's a bit of a trend towards that right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, it's like people wanting to disconnect a little bit, but not be completely, you know, out of touch.
Yeah.
So
it has a browser.
Kind of let them do that.
Yeah. But it can do messages, calls, clock stuff, calendar. That sort of stuff. See, it's called the KY01L. It's coming to NTT Docomo in Japan. It's about 5.3 millimeters thick and 47 grams.
Tiny light phone.
Yep. I think they have a picture somewhere of somebody just putting it into their wallet, which, no, I'm not doing that with my wallet.
Sit down, snap.
Ugh, yeah.
Goddamn.
It has a 2.8-inch monochrome e-paper screen, LTE connectivity, and a 380 milliamp hours battery.
Yeah, with an e-paper screen is going to last you a fucking long time.
Yep.
Yep.
And it costs about $300.
Pretty decent price, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. Definitely not bad. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All
it
right.
It seems like good as like a, you know, your kid's first phone sort of thing.
All right. Next up, and this story is just, it's one of those stories where you suddenly realize that, yeah, we really are living in the future now. it's just a bit more mundane than we had expected it to be. But a city in China is planning to launch by 2020, that remember, we're coming up to the end of 2018 already. So they're planning to launch, and I am not making this up, an artificial moon. An artificial moon so that they can replace street lamps.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Basically doing what Dragon Ball Z did. but yeah, so this is in Chengdu, a southwestern Sichuan province.
Mm-hmm.
It's developing illuminating satellites that will shine in tandem with the real moon, but are 8 times brighter.
Yep.
It essentially aims to limit some of their nighttime pollution, light pollution stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, so it'll launch from the Zicheng Satellite Launch Center in Sichuan. Three more to follow in 2022 if the first test goes well. And, yeah, it seems neat. See, by reflecting light from the sun, satellites could replace a street lamp or could place street lamps in urban areas, saving estimated 1.2 billion yuan, about $170 million a year in electricity costs. If they illuminate an area of 50 square kilometers.
And also what's learned of this could lead to an orbital laser. So there's that.
Yeah, this is also what the opposite of what Monty Burns did.
Yeah, he tried to blot out the sun and was trying to reflect it.
Yep.
Yeah, which I don't know how that would work for more than, like, 15 minutes, because the sun would move, and then it's gone.
Yeah, the sun moves, but satellites are in orbit, so they're also moving. So.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a satellite, though, was it? It was, like, something that stuck out of the ground. up into the sky.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm not... the Monty Burns' plan had so many problems, it wasn't even funny, but yeah.
Well, I got him shot, so it worked out in the end.
Yeah. Well, next story we got here is a really awesome science story. Astronomers have discovered what, to this point, is the most massive structure that existed in the early universe. They found a new cluster that contained thousands of new undiscovered galaxies.
Yep. It's a proto-supercluster, which they are calling Hyperion.
Yep.
It's believed to predate the other proto-superclusters we have discovered by about 3 million years. And contains thousands of galaxies. I think I saw a number at a point like a million billion galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
It has enough galaxies that weighs more than 1 million billion times the weight of our sun.
Yep.
Which is a mess.
That's a lot of galaxies.
Incomprehensible, almost.
Yeah,
my head just exploded.
Yeah.
Yep. So the universe is packed clusters and superclusters of galaxies that can hold hundreds to thousands of individual galaxies. Our Milky Way is part of the Virgo supercluster, believed to hold somewhere up to 2,000 galaxies. And this helps astronomers better understand the early formation of galaxies, but also the early stages of our universe, since this is one that is a good bit older than the others we've seen.
Yeah.
All right.
Still Next haven't up. Found extraterrestrial intelligence yet.
No, but we will eventually. You know, we'll get there.
Want to or not, it's another matter.
Of course, it could end up like Alistair Reynolds' whole series, where there were other species out there. It's just that they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, in really good news, MoviePass, their parent company, is finally being investigated by the New York Attorney General for the misleading of their investors.
Yeah, so I guess at one point, a year or two ago, their stock was worth about $600 each. It's worth 2 cents now.
Well, I don't think fraud had anything to do with it. I think it was more the fact that they had a business model that was completely unsustainable.
Yep. Yeah, so let's see. In August, Helios and Matheson reported a loss of $100 million in the second quarter, putting the company on pace to blow through its remaining assets in the span of months.
Mm-hmm.
The stock lost all of its value based on the company's most recently reported share count of 1.5 billion shares outstanding. The company trades at an implied valuation of $30 million.
Yep.
1.5 billion shares for $30 million. It's not...
That's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
Mm.
That's almost 2 penny stocks status.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't think that even should even be listed at this point, but...
No.
Right. Yeah, that... It's a good idea for a consumer. The implementation of it was complete bullshit.
Yeah, especially as they kept changing the terms for what you could do with it.
Yeah.
And now you see each of the theater chain owners either already has one going or will be doing one at some point soon.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a way better
idea. They've been doing this in Europe for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's going to be a much better deal because you have the stability of knowing that they actually own the chains.
Yeah.
And they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. And it's your theater, you know? It's the theater that you're comfortable going to, so you don't have to...
You don't have to do weird stuff like, I can't reserve this until the GPS data says I'm right near the theater, and then it has to be for an approved movie, and then most of the new movies aren't actually approved for a couple weeks, and all this other bullshit's like, yeah, that wasn't a good idea.
Nope.
Especially
why you're out of business.
Especially when a lot of people paid like $70, $80 up front. for like a year.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a lot of money banking on the idea of you wanting to actually go to the movie theater.
Yeah.
Fortunately, where I live, movie tickets are still relatively inexpensive. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you got that going.
It's like $5 or $6 bucks per here.
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. Like, have you ever seen how expensive movie tickets are over in Japan?
Yeah, aren't they like in the $30 range? Something like
yep. And we don't mean that. And we mean like $30 equivalent. We don't mean just 30 yen. We mean, yeah, it's it can be
like 3,000 yen ish. Yeah, probably a bit more if you figure exchange rate.
Yeah. And finally, last story of the night: the DCU Cinematic Universe is kind of hitting the skids. Because the Flash movie, the standalone Flash movie, the filming for it has been pushed forward and will probably not be released until 2021.
Yeah.
Well, this may be a good thing.
Cause... Yeah. The reason for this is that the script is not fully done yet. Mm-hmm. So they're still working on, like, yeah, we're not going to sit here and try and rush through all this just to get it out earlier. And yeah, I think they had their director fall through at a certain point, 2016, which was Rick Famuyiwa, who did Dope. But they got the writers for Spider-Man Homecoming, John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein, to direct this, signed them this past January. So those are, seems like two good, people to have on. So if you can get the quality of Spider-Man Homecoming, but for The Flash, that would be actually a really good fit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so they still have Ezra Miller as The Flash, who I guess is kind of a live wire performer.
Mm-hmm.
He is working with the Fantastic Beasts movie, or the next one. That's going to start filming this summer, so there's also that being an issue as well.
Yeah.
Because they were, I think, initially looking to start filming in March and not having the script ready yet and all that. They don't want to encroach on any of his other work and having to have that fall through and have to find somebody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're looking to probably start filming late 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that means it won't be out probably till 2021.
Yeah.
Which they got a decent amount of stuff coming in the next year or two, like the Aquaman movies this year.
Yeah.
I think next year is Wonder Woman. I'm trying to think what else. Joker, The Birds of Prey is also next year.
Yep.
So they got some stuff there. Some stuff that isn't Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're looking at actually having some quality control. So
yeah. Not putting it all.
Also, James Gunn is James Gunn is now on the team. So
yeah,
at least for one movie, but that will probably change. So
all right,
I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too. I mean, can it get any worse at this point?
No, not really.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, so I do believe we've got a show, folks. So
yes, sir.
I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, a comment, something you want us to read on the air, or maybe you just want to give us your thoughts about something, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it hooked and provided there in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little bit of proactive perfidy. Yes, that is actually a word, perfidy. I just learned it a couple hours ago. You can catch it at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any place where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed. So, for Let's Weekend, I have been your host, most Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo Nalbo and Chris Sologi, I'd like to tell you good night, sleep tight, 2 weeks, 4 days.